Hi, I'm Peter Clark. This is Inside Language with linguist Kate Burridge. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Peter.
Apostrophes. Now, I've been with you long enough to know that you're very strongly minded about apostrophes, and so am I in a way. I am absolutely crazy about all the plurals we see, including on formal signage, with an apostrophe S to designate the plural. The little dot with the tail has caused a lot of problems over the years. When did it emerge?
Well, it's something we stole from the French again. The idea originally was to mark something missing, and we still do that, of course. It is becomes its, and then you mark that missing vowel. So that's its original job description, and that, you know, it took off really 16th, 17th century. So thinkst thou, you'd have an apostrophe there to indicate the missing E, for instance. But then someone got the bright idea to use it for possession. And it's a bit fuzzy what the thinking was. Well, the thinking was definitely fuzzy, whatever it was. Perhaps something was missing, so that the man's car was the man his car, a missing pronoun. Or were they thinking of going right back to Old English times where there would have been a vowel in that possessive ending? I mean, it's a long time ago now, so you really wouldn't want to mark that missing vowel. But anyway, it was then recruited to mark only singular possessors there. That was in the 18th century. And then in the 19th century, it was used also for plurals.
S apostrophe. Can we learn anything from the its conundrum? We were taught, weren't we, Kate, that its possessive, no apostrophe, its, meaning it is, with the contraction, an apostrophe. Is that a sort of a throwback?
One example of just how inconsistent even the rules for the use of the apostrophe are, because we don't use them in pronouns, it's true, except for ones. You do put an apostrophe in ones, but you don't for hers or, you know, its when it's the possessive.
If you're saying one's apostrophe, for example.
Yes, exactly. You'd put an apostrophe there. Yes. So there's an inconsistency. And another little inconsistency too, because if you read the style books, they'll say, well, you use the apostrophe for true possessors. But if something's descriptive, you wouldn't. So traveller's checks, you wouldn't. And a lot of names, Barclays Bank or, you know, Myers. No apostrophe.
It is all about ambiguity in a way. Clarification, isn't it? That our brain is helped by the apostrophe, or it used to be.
Well, it's not really clear that it does aid comprehension or speed up processing. And I've certainly checked that with, cognitive linguists who will support that, because I would have most certainly, if that's the case, then put them in there. But, you know, context, as we've said before, is enough to remove any sort of ambiguity. So if I were to say to you, I don't know, something like my sister's investments, you don't know, do you, whether it's plural or singular, and a well-placed apostrophe would indicate that. Of course, it doesn't in speech, but it would in writing. But context is generally going to be enough to tell you whether sister is singular or plural. And if it's not, then you can say the investment of my sister or sisters. And in fact, there's an interesting point, because that of construction, the cover of the book, will eventually, and looks like it is pushing out the possessive apostrophe. So, you know, a few more hundred years, Peter, we won't have to worry where to put the apostrophe, because it'll be another construction.
Are you saying we're moving to a more wordy construction to denote the possession?
Well, that's been the case of English for some time now, that as we shed these grammatical endings, so their functions are taken up by other words, sometimes prepositions, and in this case, of is taking up that function. It's not just a thing of modern English. If you go back to when the apostrophe first appeared, there were misplaced apostrophes all over the place. It was the sort of golden age of the apostrophe, because people were putting them in, for example, the word has, H-A apostrophe S.
I've seen that in old writing.
Have you? Yes, that's right. Thinking it's the shortened form of haves. Of course, it isn't the shortened forms of haves, but it. I think it started its decorative function then, when people started to put it in, or loud, L-O-U apostrophe D, because, you know, often the apostrophe was used to indicate the missing E in something like jumped, J-U-M-P apostrophe D, to indicate a missing E. So, yes, that was the sort of, you know, the flourishing of the apostrophe then. You know, the rules have been so slippery with the apostrophe. As you said earlier, it is more misleading, really, or it's more distracting. It's supposed to be there to aid us when we read, but it is a little distracting, particularly when it's not used correctly, or even if it's used correctly, you think, oh, hey, that one's right.
Well, putting clarity and distractions aside, do you agree, because of its pervasiveness, that we are actually seeing the apostrophe used for plurals now?
This was around a lot in the the 18th, 19th centuries, and that was, you know, the era of prescription when people were laying down rules left, right and centre for English, including rules for the apostrophe. But no one batted an eyelid there. No one worried about punctuation. These days, people are very worried. And I remember once bravely suggesting that we could well do without the apostrophe. And, you know, I've got these horrid, horrid letters, you know, hate mail, I think you'd probably call it, Peter, because I'm one of those, as Lynn Truss calls, spineless types, thinks we could do without the apostrophe.
Rather than wrestling with the rules every day. Let's imagine for a moment we remove the apostrophe for possessives. You don't really see a big problem with that.
I don't think there'd be a problem at all. You could perhaps keep it for those awkward possessives. And this is, again, where style books will suggest not using an S. I don't know, Euripides' mother or Socrates' father.
James's bike.
Yes. They're always clear on the classical ones, like Euripides, but then it gets a bit murky when it's Jones or James, because you'll see disagreement there in style guides, James's or Ross's or something like that, Burgess's. You could put an apostrophe to indicate the missing possessive, perhaps there, I don't know. I don't think it would cause a problem, really, not for comprehension.
It seems to me, Kate, that the use of the apostrophe for plurals in so many signs that you see now, that has little to do with contraction or something missing. How did this happen?
It's not just the plurals, though. It's wherever you get an S. I've certainly seen "please flush the toilet," P-L-E apostrophe S, you know, so it's it is a kind of a decorative. I mean, I always think of it as a bit like the buttons on the cuffs of men's jackets or the Doric frieze ornamentation that used once to have a function, was part of the actual building.
When it was timber.
Exactly right. But then, the pattern was preserved.
In stone.
Like, yeah, exactly, yes. And you could think of this now as a kind of a decorative use of the apostrophe, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, it's. I'm just being flippant, really.
Doric punctuation, that's what you're saying. Yes. Are you actually arguing that when people see an S, they almost reflexively put an apostrophe in there in the way they used to in the old days with Ds?
Yes, that's right. Or they'd do it with Ds or Ss. And I've been guilty of that too when I type quickly an email, for example. You know, I might just bung in an apostrophe there and I, you know, go back and carefully proof it, of course. But I guess what I'm saying too is that right from the start, it's not been clear exactly how to use the apostrophe. Because as soon as the people laying down the rules for the apostrophe would say things like, well, you only use it for true possessors. Okay, let's take a simple example, Peter's photograph. Now, you could own that photograph, you're a clear possessor there, but it could be a depiction of you, or it could be something that was given to you and you're going to give it to your mother, or who knows? All that S is doing is showing that there's Peter and there's a photograph and there's some sort of relationship between those two nouns. It could be possession, but not necessarily. So once you say, well, you don't need it unless it's real possession, then it gets really murky, you know, 2 weeks' notice. That was the one where Lynn Truss got into trouble. I think there was a movie, wasn't it? And she put in the apostrophe. Well, even style guides say you don't need it there.
Well, Kate, this little beastie's been around for a while, the apostrophe. Do you see it has a future? I know you'd like to hose it out of the language. Does it have a future? Is it going to go on? Is it going to be a big plural marker for the next 100 years?
I think it will go on because I think people are reluctant to revise these rules. It's silly, isn't it? In every other aspect of life, we look at our rules and we think, oh, they're a bit silly, they're a bit old-fashioned, or let's rethink that. But not in language, you know. It's like we were talking before. People are very reluctant. Or, you know, look at spelling. People love to whinge about English spelling, but when it comes to even just simple reforms, they balk at it. And it's the same. Of course, it's part of the written language, and the written language still has considerable clout. Of course, we live in the age of e-communication. That's introducing all sorts of, well, relaxing of these laws or these rules. So yeah, we live in interesting linguistic times, I think, Peter.
Kate, great to see you again. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Kate Burridge is Professor of Linguistics at Monash University in Melbourne here in Australia. I'm Peter Clark for Inside Language. Until next time.